This Easter season, we're offering a special downloadable resource that will inspire you and deepen your faith. He Is Risen is a digital booklet featuring powerful articles from The Stand and AFA Journal that explore the life-changing truth of the resurrection, the significance of Easter, and how to share these foundational truths with others. For a limited time only, it's our gift to you for any donation of $5 or more. Help us continue to share biblical truth, defend Christian values, and equip our families. Visit afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Tuesday, April the 22nd, 2025, in case you were wondering. Thank you for listening to AFR. This is live radio, for better or for worse, like your marriage vows. You remember? Ed Battagliano joins me in studio. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning. Where did that come from?
I don't know.
That's a pretty good line, though. Yeah. I may have to steal that.
But it was written long ago. I stole it from
you. Stole from somebody else.
Yeah. All right, to Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
Good morning. All good quotes were taken from somebody somewhere at some point.
That's right.
It's just a matter of whether you want to admit that you stole it or not.
Yes, that's right. Which is a sin.
Yes.
I think stealing is a sin. Still in the top 10, right, Ed?
Absolutely.
It's
in the top 10. It's the top Billboard tenor. Top 10 Billboard hits.
Of sins.
Mm.
Right. All right, Chris, I Love the Carpenters Woodward.
Yes.
Here.
Huge fan with my 45s and 78s, whatever those are.
We were talking before the show, before we went live, we were talking that the Carpenters, the singing duo, the brother-sister singing duo from the 60s, well, 70s more or less, they have been mentioned on our trivia show on Friday many times. And Chris, you were unaware, right, when we first started calling?
Yes. You asked me a question about one of their songs.
Yeah.
And you were like, I'll buy your lunch or I'll give you $100, whatever it was. And I guess Waylon Jennings was the only thing that popped into my head.
Well, Waylon Jennings, he would go back to the Carpenters era, although he was in a different genre.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we did for a long time tease you about the fact that you didn't know who the Carpenters were.
Yeah.
And didn't you get a card from a lady who was criticizing you for liking the Carpenters, and you were only pretending to like them to keep us quiet.
Right, yeah, you know, because I value my job, and I'll do whatever I need to do. So, yeah, rainy days and whatever days. But
Wesley, I'm going to double your participation in my will.
Okay.
If you can name me one Carpenters song right now.
Yeah, I can see the album. The Birds.
Oh, they had more than one album. The Birds. The Birds were a different group.
Yeah. The Eagles.
They spelled
Carpenter,
it differently.
I don't know.
All right. Well, you missed your opportunity. In fact, I'm going to deduct you from the wheel for not knowing.
Well, try again tomorrow. Okay.
Try again tomorrow.
Try your other kid.
Memorize the whole Carpenters album list. All right.
What was the big? What was the
number one? Carpenters.
Hit?
They had one hit after another. Rainy Days and Mondays. They had the marriage. So what was the wedding song that everybody used? We've Only Just Begun.
Yes.
Which Chris can sing.
Yes.
I've heard him.
Oh, I mean, you mentioned Karen Carpenter's voice again, folks. This was before we went live.
Right.
And she did just
an angelic voice,
talent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I think you guys need to love me for what I am.
Was that a Carpenters song?
According to Google.
That didn't make the top 20.
Love me for what I am.
Right. I can't help myself, but y'all helped me a little bit by going off on something I didn't know anything about.
Right.
So it gave me time to think.
Yes.
You know, we get up every morning, we hope to learn something new.
Right.
Right? Is that
gave
the
me
challenge?
Time to think.
You did.
That's right. And I've got an apologetic question for Ed.
Okay.
Ed, can you steal from the Bible?
Can you steal from the Bible? Well, you shouldn't be actually stealing from anybody.
Okay.
If you quote something from somebody, it needs to be cited where you got it.
Right.
What we're talking about is that there's nothing new under the sun, and so much wisdom
borrowed.
Yes, which I just borrowed.
Without crediting.
That's right, from Ecclesiastes. That's what the Bible says. Right. And the fact of the matter is that there's so much that we have absorbed growing up that came from somebody, but we're not doing research for a college paper where you'd need to cite it. But
I have another apologetic.
So you can't steal from the Bible. You should cite the Bible.
Or borrow from.
I got another apologetics question for you, Ed. That's,
oh, good.
Okay. Where did God come from?
Well, you know what? We got Dr. Frank Turek coming up here in 5 minutes.
That's what every four-year-old wants to know, right?
Yeah. I have one answer to that.
Yes.
And I've given it to all my children, this is it, and I move on.
Right. Yes.
Now, I'll listen,
right?
But it's the same answer.
Right.
No matter how many times or different ways you ask it, and it's God is the Alpha and the Omega, He's the beginning and the end. That's from Revelation chapter 1, verse 8.
You just
He has
the
no
Bible.
Beginning and He has no end.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. That wasn't a trick question, but that is the... Maybe 5 years old, 6 years old, you think of that
Where
question?
Did he come from?
I'm 6 years old, fixing to go to first grade. I'm going to stump my dad.
That's right.
Where did God come from?
Right.
Answer that one for me, Dad. And that's a great answer, Wesley. And,
it.
Of course, I don't mean to make light of God's eternal existence, because the Scripture does teach He is the Alpha and the Omega. There's no beginning to God. There's no end to God, right?
But the reason it is a stump question at times, because even that sometimes is not satisfying, depending on the time and season
of
Christian life.
Well, that's when you just say, because I told you so.
That's right. Yeah.
That's when you end that conversation.
That's right.
There is a time and a place for everything.
Under the sun.
Yes, there's a time and a place for saying, I told you so, and that's it.
Right.
And there's a time to live and a time to die.
Because I said
so. Mamas and the papas.
You want to?
Book of Ecclesiastes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
I think that's actually the birds.
Oh, okay.
Anyway. The birds. Anyway. I feel an apologetic section to today's issues coming on.
Hey. Right. So, I like it.
You know, before we do that, folks are fretting right now. They're going, when are you going to get to the news of the day?
And they're more than fretting.
I'll bring you down shortly.
They're criticizing.
They're wanting to know, what is the status of the Dow Jones, Mr. Dow Jones today? How's Mr. Dow Jones feeling today? And we're going to get to that in a few minutes. But first, we have with us Mr. Apologetics himself from the great state of North Carolina. Dr. Frank Turek is with us, host of I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist, heard Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio.
Sundays at 4 p.m. Central Time.
Right here on AFR. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, gentlemen. He has risen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. He has risen indeed.
Amen. We just celebrated Easter. You know, Frank, this was, as Ed pointed out yesterday, I think this was the first time in a while that the Eastern Church and the Western Church of Christians has celebrated Easter on the same day.
Is that true? I didn't know that.
That is true. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what I read.
Right.
If it's on the internet, Ed, it's got to be true.
That's right.
I don't know what that means.
That's a biggie, though. If they misgot that, or if they got that one wrong, I think.
Well, it has to do with how the church historically has decided on what day, because it's not the same day. It's not like Christmas.
Right.
We celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ on December 25th. Mm-hmm. Whether that was the actual day or not, we don't know. But Easter and determining what day, upon which day Easter will fall, is a process of calculation.
Yep.
And the East and the West have a different formula for that.
Right.
But this year, from what I read on that there internet, that it fell, both churches, their calculations, it fell on the same day.
Right, right. Good morning, Frank. How you doing, brother?
I'm just swell. Hey, can I give a 2-minute sermon?
Go.
This was actually a sermon done by James Allen Francis about 100 years ago called One Solitary Life, and I think it nails it. Here it is. Here's the whole sermon. You ready? He was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant. He grew up in another village where he worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30. Then for 3 years, he was an itinerant preacher. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never had a family or owned a home. He didn't go to college. He never lived in a big city. He never traveled 200 miles from the place where he was born. He did none of the things that usually accompany greatness. He had no credentials but himself. He was only 33 when the tide of public opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. One of them denied him. He was turned over to his enemies and went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. While he was dying, his executioners gambled for his garments, the only property he had on earth. When he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 20 centuries have come and gone, and today he is the central figure of the human race. I am well within the mark when I say that all the armies that ever marched, all the navies that ever sailed, all the parliaments that ever sat, all the kings that ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of man on this earth as much as that one solitary life, unquote.
Who's the author?
That is James Allen Francis. And here's my question. If there was no resurrection, how could this life be the most influential life of all time? I don't have enough faith to believe that this one solitary life from a remote village could be the most influential life of all time unless the resurrection is true.
Amen.
That's good preaching. My only criticism is you're going to put a lot of preachers out of work with a 2-minute sermon.
Yeah, that's what you got from that, Ed.
You know how many people are saying, well, if you can preach a good sermon like that in 2 minutes,
right?
How come my preacher takes 45? No, that is absolutely true, Frank. Is that one of the testimonies that you use when you're discussing the resurrection on, say, college campuses?
It's actually in the book, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. And as I say, it's 100 years old, Ed. And I think it was Winston Churchill who said, if you give me an hour to speak, I need 5 minutes to get ready. But if you give me 5 minutes, I need a week.
Oh, yeah, because you've got to be concise.
Yeah,
no
now
filler.
This guy, James Allen Francis, was very concise in the 2 minutes or 3 minutes it took me to read that.
I thought that was Winston Churchill.
I think Churchill said something like, that wasn't his sermon. That was James Allen Francis.
I think that was Yogi Berra, but you want to think it's Winston Churchill.
Well, you know, Yogi Berra said, nobody goes down there anymore. It's too crowded.
Right. Talking about a restaurant. Yes. I remember hearing that one before. He also said, when you come to the fork in the road, take it.
Yeah. One other one he said was, go to your friends' funerals or they won't come to yours.
That's right.
All right. Oh, man. Frank, you've been on college campuses recently, right?
Let me mention, I'm going to be tomorrow night at the University of Tennessee, Knoxville.
Okay.
University of Tennessee, Knoxville. It's going to be 8 p.m. All the details are on our website, the cross-examined website, but I can get them for you if you want them. It's in Alumni Memorial Building 27, University of Tennessee, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. It'll also be live streamed on our YouTube channel and our X feed, cross-examined, two words at YouTube.
Now, when you go to these college campuses, what do you what takes place exactly?
Well, I do a presentation where I go through the essentials of the book, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. I cover four questions. Does truth exist? Does God exist? Are miracles possible? And is the New Testament telling us the truth about the resurrection? Because if Jesus rose from the dead, game over, Christianity's true. And then we open it up to open mic, any question anybody wants to ask. So last week I was at Wright State University. The presentation was an hour and a half, and the questions were an hour and a half. So
wow,
3 hours.
Event. So what is your sense? How long have you been doing this? First
about
question.
20 years.
All right, 20 years. So what is your sense of what is happening on college campuses? 20 years, that's a pretty good cross-section of time. You should have some sense of where things are trending. Yeah. Is there more interest among young people, less interest?
I think there's more, Ed. There's certainly more. You know, there's been some reports of revivals. I mean, I've been to Ohio State every year. This year, they had a big revival there. It wasn't because of me. I'm just saying they had the football team baptized a whole bunch of people.
Yeah.
Half the football team is a Christian, if not more. They've had these events all around that people are turning out. My friend Charlie Kirk is going to be at Texas A&M today. There'll be several thousand people showing up.
So do you attribute that to the fact that a lot of these young people have grown up without much in the way of religious teaching and curiosity is getting the better of them, or they feel an emptiness that they can't? What do you attribute this increase in interest?
It's probably all the above, but one of the things that's happening, particularly around young men, is that young men are starting – they're the most conservative, at least politically, group in 50 years. And I think they're tired of the feminization, the sissification, if you will, of the country. And they're looking for direction. That's why Jordan Peterson has right. made such an impact, because he's saying, hey, be a man. You know, go out there and actually do something that matters. Don't let the world tell you you have to suppress your instinct to go out there and conquer for good, right?
Yeah.
And I think men are looking for direction in particular, and many of them are finding it in Christianity, and it also happens to be true. I would also say that I think encroaching evil wakes people up. Mm. It's certainly waking people up over in the UK. They know that a tepid secularism cannot resist a rabid Islam.
Right.
Even Richard Dawkins is saying, I'm a cultural Christian now. You know, the famous atheist who's been fighting Christianity his whole life is now realizing that there are benefits of a Christian society. Because there's a void. There's no void. Some ideology is going to fill in what is left. And the ideology of secularism and atheism, first of all, isn't true. Second of all, doesn't work for people. What are you, just a bag of chemicals that's going to die?
Right.
And nothing's going to happen, and there's no meaning or purpose to life? That doesn't inspire anyone.
Hey, Dr. Frank, this is Wesley here.
Hey, Wesley.
Before I ask my question, I was going to tell the audience, you can go to crossexamine.org and click on events, and you can see where Dr. Frank Turk will be in the coming weeks. Also, we mentioned earlier he'll be at the University of Tennessee, Knoxville, tomorrow night. But my question, did we just celebrate it as Christians Easter and the Resurrection Weekend and the Holy Week? What is one or two, depending on how much time you want to go here, of evidence or examples that we have that Jesus did raise from the dead? Because that's a pretty big claim.
Well, this is going to sound odd for people, because all of us here believe the Bible is the inerrant word of God. So it's going to sound odd for just a minute, but stick with me. Christianity is not true because a series of documents we put under one binding that we call the Bible says it's true. In fact, Christianity would be true if the Bible never existed. And people go, well, what do you mean? How can that be?
Right.
And I always ask, do you realize there were thousands of Christians before a line of the New Testament was ever written? Why? Because they didn't read about it in a book. They witnessed the resurrected Jesus themselves. In other words, Christianity did not originate with a book. Christianity originated with an event, the resurrection. There would be no series of documents we call the New Testament written by Jews in the first century claiming a man claimed to be God and rose from the dead, because that's something Jews didn't believe in. They didn't think one guy could claim to be God. They didn't think one guy would rise from the dead. They knew we'd all rise from the dead at the end of time, but they didn't think one guy would rise from the dead and claim to be God. And yet here they are claiming a man claimed to be God and rose from the dead. And then they go and they abandon their sacred beliefs that they've had for 2,000 years as a people. They adopt new beliefs, and they're kicked out of the synagogue. They're beaten, tortured, and killed. They did not invent this. In other words, the New Testament writers did not create the resurrection. The resurrection created the New Testament writers.
Yep.
We wouldn't have these documents written by Jews in the first century unless that happened. Another way of saying it is that the Bible is not the cause of Christianity. The Bible is the result of Christianity.
Amen.
And people don't seem to realize that. They think, oh, well, it's true because the document says it's true. Well, it is true, and the document does say it's true, but it's not true just because the document says it's true. It's true because it happened, and the documents record what happened.
Yeah, I've always found that being one of the strongest cases. The case is that the Bible says itself there was over 5,000. Is it 500? 500 eyewitnesses.
Yeah.
Of his resurrection, minimum. Of course, you've got disciples. It gives a list there of others as well, but at least 500 eyewitness accounts.
Is that statement that you just made about the Bible being created by the resurrection, not the other way around, is that in your book? I don't have enough faith to be an atheist.
I don't say it just that way. I do say it in the book Stealing from God. When we update I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist, yeah, which we'll be doing soon, it will be in there. But I just want people to realize that there were Christians that predated the New Testament, right?
Right.
I mean, yeah.
No, that's true.
The Christians wrote the New Testament because, and they became Christians because Jesus rose from the dead, yeah, not because they wanted to invent a religion that got them beaten, tortured, and killed.
Right.
Right?
And no.
And so people always forget that. You know, I believe the Bible's inerrant because Jesus did. But you know, there was no Bible to be inerrant, at least the New Testament, when Paul became a Christian.
Right.
Right? He helped write the inerrant Bible. But he was a Christian before the Bible even existed, the New right. Testament, not the Old. But you get the
yes.
point.
You're going to get a lot more of Frank Turek also at our Activate Summit coming up this summer. Activate Summit 2025, June the 12th through the 14th. Frank will be there. He's got two speaking sessions, and we're looking forward to his. We're thankful and looking forward to his contribution there. So you can go sign up at Activate. .afa.net. That's activate.afa.net.
When is that?
That's June the 12th through the 14th.
You're in
the
Tupelo.
Summer. Tupelo. Yep.
Where are we holding it in Tupelo, Wesley?
We got the Cadence Center, which used to be the Bancorp South Center. It's a local conference.
It's got, indoor, it's got indoor plumbing and.
Get out of here.
No, Mississippi's come up a lot since you've been here last.
Hey, listen, and Alex McFarland will be speaking. Todd Herman will be speaking. Abraham. Yeah. Hamilton III will also be speaking. So this is going to be a good lineup, and folks can still sign up.
Absolutely.
Right?
And we're about full, though, are we not?
That's right. Yep. We
got about 100 seats left, I think, maybe.
Yep, that's right.
And Frank will be here, Todd Herman, Alex McFarland.
Some of the panelists will include Jenna Ellis, M.D. Perkins, Sandy Rios,
yeah,
and Tina Griffin. And
so we want you to come in and enjoy the couple of days. You can come by here and see us at the offices and studios here at American Family Radio if you want to while you're in town. But and we do have a children's track.
It complements exactly what we'll be doing.
How young do they
the
start?
The ages are 6 to 12.
So 6 and up. There's a kids' track.
6 to 12,
track.
There's a children's track. And then ages 13 and up, they'll be in there with the adults.
The adults.
Okay,
yep.
How big is the venue, Wesley?
We're gonna cut it off at 500 this year. And that's because of the amount of help that we can use with our own staff.
Right.
That's our capacity.
Yes, we have to have people to facilitate everything. Mm. And so
500 is our cap. Now, that doesn't include children, though. That's adults. We've also got 150 cap on children.
Okay.
So
what?
650 if you add up children.
How do you sign up?
Go to activate.afa.net, activate.afa.net.
And it's when and how much does it cost?
The cost is $75 for adults, and I believe it's $55. I'd have to find the
It's that information's on the
it's
website,
all there.
Right?
It's $75, and friends, we put on a $79 event.
That's
so
what
you're
I'm
getting
talking
a
about.
Break.
Yes. All right. Well, listen, Brother Frank, thanks so much for your time, and appreciate it, brother. And we look forward to seeing you in a couple months.
Thanks, brother. And don't forget, folks, University of Tennessee, Knoxville, tomorrow night. Details at crossexamine.org. See you there. Okay. And also check out our YouTube channel if you're not near Knoxville. We'll stream it live.
All right. Thank you. Frank Turek, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take our break and be back. So you got how many seats left, would you say?
Just under 100. Let's just say 100.
For that Activate conference.
That's right. Yep.
And so that's coming up. June, what'd you say?
June the 12th, the 14th, and all the details as far as there's more, even more details than we're going to cover here. But the schedule's there if you're interested to know when he's speaking. $75 for the entire weekend.
Yeah,
it's a bargain.
It is.
It's a bargain.
Oh,
all right, huh?
Yeah, it's a bargain.
Yeah. It's a bargain.
We would say up in Boston, that's a bargain.
We will return momentarily with more of today's issues. So we'll get some of the news of the day. So we'll see you back here in a couple of minutes.
Will you take a moment and celebrate life with me? Last year, Preborn helped to rescue over 67,000 babies from abortion. Hi, this is Ed Vitagliano, and I want to thank you for your partnership. Think about what you did. 67,000 babies are taking their first breath now because of you. Your $28 sponsored one ultrasound that was given to a woman as she was deciding about the future of her child. Once she saw her precious baby for the first time and heard their sweet heartbeat, her baby's chance at life doubled. But Preborn's mission is not only to rescue babies' lives, but also to lead women to Christ. Last year, Preborn Network clinics saw 8,900 women receive salvation. Your help is crucial to continue their life-saving work. Your caring, tax-deductible donation saves lives, so please be generous. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Your love can save a life.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. And I'm Tim with Ed, Wesley, and Chris. And Chris, what's your first story
well,
for us
right
today?
Now, the U.S. Supreme Court is hearing arguments over the religious rights of parents in Maryland to remove their children from elementary school classes using storybooks that promote the LGBTQ lifestyle. This is a case known as Mahmoud v. Taylor, and the Beckett Law Firm is representing Christian, Muslim, and Jewish parents who say that the Montgomery County Board of Education, unbeknownst to them, removed their opt-out and basically read these students, had students read from these books that include things like transgenderism, homosexuality, LGBTQ things. And the parents claim that their religious rights were violated because the school took away their opt-out option. These are issues they say should be best left to parents in the home based on the family's religious beliefs. And I've got some audio from Beckett attorney William Hahn here. Clip one.
At the core of this case is the right of parents to direct their children's religious upbringing, and especially ensuring that that right isn't surrendered simply because you send your children to public school, like 80% of American families do with school-aged children.
Now, it's interesting here because the justices have repeatedly endorsed claims of religious discrimination in recent years, but you do have people like Justice Gorsuch, who was appointed by Donald Trump, that ruled a way we didn't want him to in a case involving LGBTQ stuff. So definitely one to watch here. It's going to impact everybody beyond Maryland.
But, so, okay, so you have, what age are these kids?
Anywhere as young as five on up to like fifth, sixth grade.
Okay, and they're arguing, the parents, is it like a class action and a bunch of parents?
Yeah, it's a whole bunch of parents. Of different faiths, yes.
Okay, I remember this story. So they're saying that, what's the argument legally?
Yeah, they claim that the school system, their taxpayer-funded school system, public school, violated their religious freedom rights under the First Amendment by removing...
That's going to be a hard one to argue. I'm just... because they're going to... Now, the Supreme Court may rule in their favor, and I certainly am in favor of what the parents are arguing. Don't get me wrong. But they're going to say the opposite argument to that is that we can't let religious people impose their beliefs on everybody else in the public schools.
Yeah, this is going to be – I agree with what you said. This is going to be a difficult case for the Supreme Court, and – the problem is there's a number of problems here. First, the Supreme Court has, over the last 10 years, more really, last 20 years,
even going back to Lawrence v. Texas. But the Supreme Court has consistently ruled that homosexuality is not immoral, that homosexuals have civil rights, that transgenders, transgendered individuals have rights under the Constitution, that same-sex marriage is legal in this country. So the Supreme Court has consistently ruled in a way that is hostile to the Christian faith. And this group of parents, you're talking about Orthodox Jews and practicing Muslims and Orthodox Christians. By Orthodox, I mean Christians who believe the Bible. Mm-hmm. Okay, they're all in the same boat. All of us are in the same boat because this is an increasingly secular society that thinks that is hostile to the.
Go ahead.
That is hostile to the idea of God and his laws. And I would not be surprised if the Supreme Court says, if you put your kids in public school, they're allowed to teach your kids whatever they want about LGBTQ, which leaves parents two choices. You either accept it and let your kids be taught it, or you move on if you can.
I have a third choice.
Okay.
Then Wesley can speak. I think the more, and maybe they tried this, I think the first line of attack here would be the school board. I would say I would approach the school board and tell them, regardless of our religious beliefs, it's inappropriate to discuss sexuality with children mm-hmm. in school, public school. And most people, whether they're religious or not, agree with that. Identify with that, they would say there's an age appropriateness, right? Mm-hmm. So yep. Certainly not a 6 years old.
Oh yeah,
that's anyway. That would be, and maybe they tried that. I don't know, but I'm just saying that would seem to me the most effective way to bring about change. Would be there rather than a Supreme Court. And I think they're going to lose here, but maybe they won't. Go ahead, Wesley.
I don't think it'll be as difficult as y'all think it will be, and here's why. Because they're not asking for there to be Christian view on this. They're also not asking for them to remove it. They're asking for the opportunity to opt out of
that.
Okay, well, you may be
so
right.
So I don't think it'll be this difficult, because all they're saying is there's opt out paper that come home. Can your children travel on a field trip? Yes or no?
Okay. Right. I mean, yeah. You got a point there.
So I think, and at this point, based on the information we got, if all they're going to court on is the freedom to say we choose no to LGBT teaching to our children,
right?
But you can continue it all you want, knock yourself out,
right? I do want to point everybody's attention to our Today's Issues Facebook page, because earlier this morning when this show started, I posted a link from AFN.net where we talk about this case and some of the books that are at issue. For example, in Prince and Knight, two men fall in love after they rescue the kingdom and each other. In Uncle Bobby's Wedding, a niece worries that her uncle will not have as much time for her after he gets married. His partner is a man. There's also a book called Love, Violet, which deals with a girl's anxiety about giving a Valentine to another girl. And one other is called Born Ready. It's the story of a transgender boy's decision to share his gender identity with his family and the world. Those are some examples.
So let me just talk, and I respect everybody here. I respect everybody's views. Yeah. So do you guys think the school should allow parents who are pro LGBTQ to opt their kids out if you teach, if you have in a lesson that a boy falls in love with a girl? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I think the Supreme Court is going to say the school has the right to decide, because if you start to let parents opt out of everything, if you use a word problem in math that says, you know, Bob and Alice have three kids, and then the pro-transgender folks say, well, you're teaching heteronormative ideas about relationships. I want to opt my kids out when you do that. I think the Supreme Court is going to say, no, you can't do that. The schools have to decide what is best for the kids.
Well, yeah.
I think that's how please, folks that are listening, don't think I agree with that. I don't. I'm just saying that's how far our culture, and I'm afraid the Supreme Court has gone in terms of being pro-LGBTQ.
They've certainly made the problem worse.
Yes, absolutely.
Because the other argument from our side would be the parents should have a right, even in that case,
yes,
to be involved in what's being taught at the school, which is why Dad's point from the very beginning about going to the school board directly. And then ultimately, if it ultimately goes against all that we stand for as Christians and conservatism, then ultimately the choice does come back to you have to make a personal choice about how much you're going to tolerate at the schools.
That's true. All right, next story, Chris.
All right, two proposals that would have restricted male athletes from participating in girls and women's sports in the state of Washington failed yesterday in a vote. The amendments needed 60% of the vote to pass.
Is this a statewide referendum?
It was something in the legislature.
Oh, okay.
The proposal limiting girls' sports participation to biological females got 58.5%, so it came just short of the 60% threshold. There was another bill that would have created an open division for students aside from boys and girls competitions. In other words, it would be a transgender bracket. That garnered just 24.5%. I've got some audio here from someone named Jennifer Say. She is the founder of XXXY Sports, who had this to say about Washington State. Clip 3.
I think it still falls far short of where the American people are, which is 80% agree that women's sports should be for women only. But we're in this upside down world where a really loud and tyrannical minority of trans ideologues and activists are holding the rest of us hostage. And I don't know why we're so afraid of them anymore. Just do the right thing.
Yeah, you got, listen, the state of Washington, which is a beautiful state, naturally, the one time I visited, they're just gorgeous up there, the scenery. And there are 11 Christians. I had to think about that for just a minute. In the state of Washington.
No, I think there's 9. I think that one couple moved.
They moved to Idaho? Yeah. Okay, well, 9. We're down 9. The state of Washington is filled with left-wing wackadoodles. And so that doesn't surprise me. Quite frankly, it surprises me they got 58%. Mm-hmm. So 58%, they needed 60, true?
Correct.
58% of the legislature voted to protect women's sports, but it wasn't enough to pass, so I don't know. Where does this go from here?
They'll probably just move on. You know, Donald Trump may be in the White House, and President Trump, our president, he did executive orders that kind of restored or brought back the importance of
a... He said you're not getting money from the federal government if you don't comply.
Right, and so, we're pretty much going to be talking about trans sports issues.
So is he going to do that with the state of Washington? I don't know. We'll wait and see. But my guess would be yes, he would.
The impending legal cases involving Maine's refusal to comply will probably determine whether or not they go forward with other states. I saw something yesterday that said Illinois was moving in Maine's direction.
Listen, what? Mm-hmm. Illinois?
Yeah, they were going to do what Maine is doing here and thumb their nose. Yeah.
You got Illinois is comprised of Chicago and then normal people.
There's two That's Illinois, right. if you will, Chicago and the rest of the state.
That's what I just said. Yeah, but thank you for agreeing with me.
I concur.
Yes. So, these blue states, they nothing surprises me anymore.
They're all in. If you're going to live in a blue state, you've got to recognize the fact that your state government is all in when it comes to all these leftist causes, not just LGBTQ. We're talking about, we've got a story today about you can burn down a Tesla dealership. If you live in a blue state, you can get away with it.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. The immigration thing, all of these left-wing causes, blue states are all in. And you're going to have to decide if you can live with that.
You know, that's why red states are growing big population booms in Texas and Tennessee and Florida and Georgia. And The Alabama and the other states are growing. Go ahead.
Yeah, what you're seeing over the last 5 years, maybe dating back a little further, but you're seeing the red states getting redder and the blue states getting bluer. And that's just the hard line.
People are moving.
Moving, yep.
And guess.
And the ones that would otherwise push back are no longer there.
And right. Guess who triggered this? Donald Trump triggered this in 2015 and 2016 when he was elected. I'm not sure why it happened. I can probably throw out some ideas, but I don't remember the left with their radical ideology that now we understood what was going on.
Sure.
Most normal people, everyday people, they didn't know how radical the left was until Trump comes along and then everyone takes their masks off and especially the left. And there's just no going backwards. And however this winds up for the country, but also for the Democratic Party, it is going to happen.
Yep.
Because the left, listen, we're all seeing, I see videos all the time on X, social media. These people are nut jobs.
They went from lying to get elected to now being honest and then dare you to question them.
Yep.
It
really is extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen how much greater Nashville area has grown?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't been there in a couple of years.
They can't find room for anybody anymore.
Right. That's right.
Because I'm talking about the greater Nashville area, not just, you know, the downtown area. And it's all these people moving in from California and all over the country.
Right.
For the... To get away from blue states, basically.
Yeah, because Nashville's a good-sized city, lots to do there. Tennessee's a very pretty state, and
it's
normal.
No state income tax either.
And it's normal.
I think it's no state.
They're very tax-friendly compared to other states.
Yeah.
And it's a normal place to raise your family.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Not
right.
Like Illinois, not like Colorado, not like Maryland.
Again, we understand that in many parts of Illinois –
yes.
It's sanity prevails.
Yes.
But Chicago, no.
But sanity has no political power.
But the problem is, I wrote about this recently, and it was very astute what I wrote. And I'm not going to brag on myself.
No.
You know, because that would be, I wouldn't want to do that. It's unbecoming.
Right.
But what you have here, when you have a city like Chicago, so many people live there. And it's so blue, they can basically dominate the state legislature.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So that the rest of Illinois,
yes,
has to follow what the dictates of extremely liberal Chicago legislators is it Champaign? In Champaign,
Springfield.
Springfield.
You're talking about the capital?
Yeah.
Springfield.
Springfield. Champaign's where the University of Illinois is. Okay, you were going to say, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, it's similar in California. If you get outside the big cities, you'll find traditional Democrats, like Democrats used to be. They're not all Nancy Pelosi, AOC Democrats.
Right.
You know, they're working people. They pay taxes. They're trying to find a safe place to raise their kids. But San Francisco and L.A. control everything. That's why there was an effort a few years ago to actually break it up into like three states.
Hey, so just to pile on here.
Yeah.
When I've been to Cairo, Illinois, or Illinois, whichever one.
No, it's Illinois.
I've been to Cairo. You're 100% certain on that, right?
Well, they just need to go ahead and take the S off.
I
would have a state referendum on that because I think it confuses
state of
the world. There's no S in Illinois.
Well, now, if you're from Mississippi, it doesn't have to be there. You're going to add it anyway.
I know you're going to add it anyway because we don't believe in wasting letters.
That's right.
That's right. Can't waste.
No,
waste
go ahead.
Whatnot.
I've been to Cairo, Illinois for an AFA event. Mm-hmm. And while I was there, the first group of people got there a half hour early just to kind of, you know, get there early and meet AFA staff and so on. And the first thing they said when they walked through the door and they shook our hand, they didn't say, you know, my name is. They didn't say, I'm glad to see y'all here. The first thing they said was they held the handshake, looked me down and said, we are not part of Chicago.
Right.
We have nothing to do
with
Chicago.
We're from Illinois. We're not from Chicago.
Yeah.
No, we're not from Chicago.
They made sure to. Now, from that, then it was their name and everything else. Yeah. They wanted to make sure.
We have a lot of listeners up there. Salem, Illinois, a lot of people up there listen to us.
Well, also the similar type thing is happening in Atlanta and Georgia.
Unfortunately.
And it's not exactly where Chicago and Illinois are, but greater Atlanta is growing so much, but you have transplants coming in from around the world. It's not exactly like Nashville. It's transplants coming in from around the world and around the country who are more, quote, liberal and progressive, and they're making
making up votes.
Yeah. Now, Georgia's still red. I know that they got two senators that are Democrat, but they were very narrowly won, and it was a weird circumstances, but Georgia's still red by 3-4%.
That's right.
If you did a statewide election, and that proved President Trump won there by that margin. Mm-hmm. And anyway, all right, and the governorship has been Republican.
Right.
So you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to the program, Today's Issues. Next story, Chris.
Yes, the Army, directed by President Donald Trump and Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth, they have suspended a commander at Fort McCoy in Wisconsin because she insulted President Trump, Vice President Vance, and Secretary Hegseth. The colonel in question is Sheila Baez Ramirez, and again, this is in Wisconsin. Ramirez did not put up photos of the commander-in-chief, vice president, and SecDef, which is
what
part of procedure.
What was the last word you said?
SecDef.
Secretary of Defense.
Yeah. I abbreviate.
Uses some insider language.
Yeah, that's what they do in the military.
Chris, all right.
Inside the Beltway.
I'll give you a sit rep
later. You
had
this civilian going.
All right.
Okay, I don't even know what in the world you were saying there.
So anyway,
say that on Christian radio or not.
Yeah, get the delay ready.
Yeah.
All right. Colonel Sheila Baez Ramirez, long story short, she did not put up photos of the commander-in-chief, Vice President Vance, and Secretary of Defense.
What base?
It's Fort McCoy, which is in Wisconsin.
Okay. So help me out here. If you're a commander of a base, then you are required to put the pictures up in your office of whoever the president is.
Mm-hmm. President, vice president, and secretary of defense, also known as SecDef.
Okay, yes. So you're required to do that. It's military protocol.
Because the base is required to have the photos. So whoever's over
to
the
base. To remind
people
where the chain of command is.
That's correct.
And she refused to.
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't know why she didn't, but she's still responsible. The assumption is that she didn't support them, and so she wasn't going to put their picture up.
What pictures were up? Do we even know?
I think they were empty frames.
They were empty. They were black, just a black frame.
A social media post a week ago showing black blank photo frames where Trump, Vance, and Hegseth should be made waves on social media and led to a Defense Department investigation. Task and Purpose reported. That's a military news outlet. Which
she got canned?
She got suspended while the investigation
put the pictures up.
Yeah.
She's going down to get some pictures.
No, she
put them up.
She's been suspended while they have the investigation.
Right.
And I guess they're going to determine whether this was purposeful or neglect. She may claim, we forgot, but we're months in.
Yeah. Three months and 2 days.
Yeah. So
the
assumption is that she didn't want to honor them.
There's a lot of insubordination being exposed. And so they're cleaning house, and you know, I don't think they're necessarily going out of their way in some cases, but if you provoke them like this, I mean, I don't know what else are they supposed to do if you are supposed to do what, if you don't do what you're supposed to do, I mean, there has to be some consequence.
And it's the military.
Yes.
The military, you gotta follow orders.
Yeah.
In the military, and you gotta follow protocol. That's how the military runs.
So we don't, did she comment at all?
I don't see a comment from her in this Daily Mail story, which I did
suspended.
Post.
She's probably not allowed to say anything.
Yeah, she's
this
suspended
point.
And
probably best that she remain silent in this.
I don't know. She's gonna have to give an explanation one way or the other. Either we were gonna get around to it, or I don't like you.
Yeah.
And so I'm not putting your picture
and
up.
And Trump's not my president, so I'm not putting
it's
his picture
base.
Up. It's my base. And then if that's her argument, she's fired.
It's beyond.
I'm sure it'll be permanent or court-martialed. I don't know what they'll do with her. But
you think we got time for one more?
I think so.
All right.
Go for it.
All right. Because it's lunchtime, I'm going to bring this up. Many people are starting to think about what they're going to eat for lunch.
Some
people are going in the route of burritos or taco bowls. Chipotle might come to mind. Yeah. And I bring that up because Chipotle has announced it is venturing into new territory. The American idea of Hispanic food chain is opening a location in Mexico. And they're being ridiculed for this because there's a ton of these things already available that are mom and pop places. And here you go trying to do your version
of
Mexico.
I'm putting you on the spot here, but please tell me we got some audio from this.
We don't.
Ah, okay.
No Chipotle.
I'm talking about man on the street audio.
No. Okay. No bueno.
Hey, listen, Chipotle, which I like, mm-hmm. I don't. Go there a lot, but and we've got a new place here in our town.
Yeah,
but relatively new. But they must have done their homework here because businesses don't open places. What we're talking about is a Mexican restaurant chain, a Mexican themed restaurant chain here in the United States, which is purely American.
Mm-hmm. Right,
is going to set up. They're going to put a store in Mexico, so they're going to sell. Ice cream to Eskimos.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yeah, listen. I'm Italian, half Italian, half Greek.
Right.
I'm not going to, if I ever took my wife to Italy, we're not going to look for an Olive Garden there.
Okay.
And if we ever go to Beijing, China,
right.
I'm not going to look for a Panda Express.
That's it.
Okay. Some things are not a good business idea, and I can't imagine Chipotle doing well in Mexico unless there are a lot of Americans nearby.
Well, I'll tell you what this is. Trump slapped that tariff on Mexico, and he said, you better put a Chipotle in down there or the deal's off. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. He slapped a Chipotle
tariff
on Mexico,
and they're complying quick.
Food for thought.
We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.